This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, man. Let's rejoice and be glad in it today and every day. Because He is our God. And it says He'll be there for us. Today, we're talking about, this week and next week, about standing. Standing. And today's message is the fear of standing still. Now, before I rain in confusion on the message, Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Well, Adam, you just said the fear of standing still. There's two different things. He says, be still and know that I am God. And in that setting, it's not the same thing as doing nothing. Now, in reference to our message today, the fear of standing still, that is in reference to doing nothing. That's in reference to standing on the sidelines and just watching everything happen and everything go by. But when we talk about being still and knowing that I am God, that's good every now and then. I was listening to a video the other day and it says, when you're in the middle of a bunch of activity, there's always stuff that you can't see. When you're busy going about life and it's blowing and going and you've got activity swirling around you, there are always things and there is always stuff that you cannot see. Sometimes you just need to be still and calm down. Take a look around and get a different perspective. We're stepping up our meetings here at Prayer of Faith with different groups. As a matter of fact, a reminder, Sunday school teachers right after service meeting in the office. That's another meeting we're having. And when you're swirling with activity, you can lose sight of things. And there's things that you can't see. And you have to step back and pull back and make sure you can see those clearly. Now, this was a challenge, actually, that Moses gave his people. And Moses challenged them to say, hey, we're getting ready to change. As a matter of fact, let me flip back over here real quick. That was from Deuteronomy chapter 30. But in Deuteronomy chapter 31, he was preparing them for a new leader, Joshua. Now today for our lesson, just so you know, we're going to spend most of our time in Luke chapter 12 and 13. And we're going to be bouncing around in there. But in Deuteronomy chapter 31, he goes on to say, after saying all that stuff, choose today. He goes on to say in verse 6, he says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. Amen? He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And as we challenge ourselves to step out of our comfort zone, out of our place of rest, we have to remember this. We have to know this and set this in our mind to say, hey, be strong and of good courage. Be courageous. That means being bold also. Do not fear. And notice how it makes that different than being afraid. It says, do not fear nor be afraid of them. Going into a new land. Why does he tell them that? For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. Wherever we go, if we're doing God's will, He is going with us. It's when you're going outside of His will that you have to worry and say, oh, am I doing this thing alone? Am I doing this out of selfish ambition? I want to go here, but I didn't talk to God about it. But when we're following God's will, keep in mind, different businesses have different needs. Different churches have different needs that they fulfill. Eric and I spend time, hey, where does God want us to take this church? How does He want us to be? How does He want us to lead? Where does He want us to go? What does He want us to do? He did say this, I want you to do in 2019. We don't get to say, we're a small church. We don't get to do much. I've spent every single day in the last week calling places, people, schools. What can we do to help you? How can we help support the teachers How can we help support the staff? What about the students? What about the parents? What about the different groups? Fire station, what can we do to help support you? We're just down the road and we want to be here for you. Men's breakfast, we may be making them breakfast in the next month or two. It's saying, God, what do you want us to do? Now keep in mind, we can be busy with church activity and not do God's work. How many know that? Yeah, we have to be very careful that we're not just being busy, but we're doing God's work. We want to be the proper hands and feet of Jesus Christ and leaving our footprint in the community. That reminds me, speaking of community, our friends across the street, the Buddhists, are having a big celebration next week. I don't know what it is, but they're going to borrow our south parking lot, our grass, maybe some of this, but I told them please wait till after service for this. We want to be good stewards. Why would we hoard this empty parking lot and the empty grass field when they have need of it? If someone has a need of your jacket, man, give it to them and give them more. Don't just keep it. Well, they only asked for that, so let's not go the extra mile. No log jams on the extra mile, right? Because it's empty. So today, as we talk about the fear of standing still, our challenge is to get moving. Our challenge is to get up out of our seats and do. I told you guys we're going to be in Luke today, right? Great. Okay, I'm going to read out of Matthew 5 just to confuse you. But stay in Luke, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16 real quick. And Luke really references the same thing. We're going to bounce around and we reference this during the scripture reading before we took offering. And it says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. They use that as when they mixed it with other things and it was no good anymore. They use that to coat the roadway or pathway. And then it goes on, and it's not just we are salt, but it says, you are light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. So we know we're going to be talking about salt, and we're going to be talking about light, and we're going to be talking about challenging us to get out of our place of comfort. Pushing, pulling, stretching ourselves to a new level of commitment, maybe for some of us, a new level of faith. Oh my goodness, faith. Yeah, believing what God says here. Hey, you don't need to fear that. You don't need to be afraid of that. Why not? I'm going with you. Matter of fact, if you're following me, you know I'm going with you because I told you where to go. We've got to remember to be strong and have good courage. Be bold when we step out and do these things. He goes with you and he won't leave you alone. You know, when we look at the fear of standing still, we can say, hey, Adam, I'm here every Sunday. Remember what I mentioned earlier about doing church work? That can be construed as that. Now, I want everyone here. Okay, I want everyone here. But if we're just doing it to get the perfect attendance record and doing nothing more with it, then it says your salt is kind of losing its flavor. It's slipping away a little bit. Did he give you life and light? It's your conversion so you could take it and keep it secret from others? Pastor Eric talked last week about the light that we need to reflect. Man, a floodlight in someone's eyes may shine a path beyond them, but to them they can't see anything. They're blinded now. And we have to be careful how we use that light and what we use it for. Now, we don't have to worry, and sometimes we have just a little flicker, and God says, I can take that. I can take that little flicker, and if you protect it, I can get it and get it strong again. I challenge today, some of you are here thinking, I've got a little flicker, and I don't know if I can keep that light going. But I'm telling you here today, you can. Don't hide it, but protect it. And put that behind something, and that flame will come back. And when you gather around others, I think of our teenagers mostly, when I think anyone ever bound a bunch of matches together and lit them and see what that does. That's what fellowship with other believers does. Spencer, I know you've done that. Probably boxes and boxes of matches, and see how big that flame can be. But that has to do with our community with one another. I said we'll be in Luke, right? Great. So back in Matthew chapter 7. And we are going to be in Luke. And the same thing's in Luke. But in Matthew chapter 7, I want to read these shorter versions and then the longer version in Luke. And it says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go by, or who go in by it. Many go by the wide gate. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. You see, we've got a gate to get in and find that life. But he says, man, narrow is that gate. Now keep in mind, we may think, well, if narrow is the gate, then narrow is whatever's on the other side. No, not necessarily. Narrow is this gate, but it opens up into a vast land of God's blessing that he desires for us. And we think, well, they've got that big giant wide gate over there. Surely that's an easy way. Easy way to destruction. Absolutely. Easy way to destruction. Now, Luke chapter 13. Let's find our way to Luke. And we're reading the same thing, just a little different perspective on this. And I want us to see what God's word says, how we can interpret that, and how we can apply that, and what it means to us. And in Luke chapter 13, verse 22 through 33. And again, we read just two little sentences about the narrow gate and the wide gate, but this expands on it a little bit more. And I love what it says here. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? Man, what a great question. And he said to them, strive. Strive. You know what strive mean? Strive means to fight vigorously, to make great effort to achieve or obtain. He says, fight vigorously to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, and you're saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he's going to answer. And he's going to say to you, I do not know you. I do not know where you are from. And you'll begin to say, but we ate and drank in your presence. And you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you. I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves are thrust out. They will come from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They will come from Choctaw and Hera and Midwest City and Dell City and Oklahoma City and Edmond and Norman. And and Moore and McLeod and Shawnee and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there are last who will be first and first who will be last. And I love when he says there will be these things. It will happen. And on that very day, some Pharisees came saying to him, "Get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And listen to this, church. He said to them, "Go tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem.'" Strive. We have to fight to get in that narrow gate, church. Oh, and by the way, we've got to fight to stay in there. Because there are those that want to get us out of that gate so that they can have more room in it. We sometimes can find ourselves pushing up against the gate. Be careful. It may not be latched. You may fall outside of it. You didn't mean to be outside of that gate. You didn't mean to be on the other side of that line. But man, it said when he comes, the master of the house has risen up and he shuts that door. You may have been in it and fallen outside, but when he shuts it, oh God, is it too late to get back in? God, I served you. You see, I went to church for a long time. I used to sing the songs. I used to listen to the songs on the radio even, God. He said, it's more than that. It's more than standing next to the property that has a narrow gate. You must enter that narrow gate and come in. He says, you've got to fight for these things. He lets us know up front, church, it's not going to be easy all the time. You may have hardships. You may have things happen in your life that you didn't plan. There may be illnesses. There may be financial difficulties, emotional difficulties. There may be some handicap situations you have to deal with for yourself, your family, your relatives, your friends, your neighbors. There may be death. But he tells us, these are his words, strive, fight vigorously to get in that gate. Make a great effort. Now, I dare say we sometimes show up with our minimum effort expecting maximum reward. God says, it doesn't work that way. You see, there's going to be this fire at the end, and everything's going through that. That'll work out all the bugs. All those things that we thought may stand, turns out they're very flammable. He says, oh, yeah, that went up in the fire. That didn't mean anything. Well, God, I did these things in your name. Yeah, but it wasn't my will. Remember, I told you not to do that. But you did it anyway because you made it your will and you made it your thing. It will not be easy. The fear of standing still is that, number one, we'll get comfortable. We'll get numb. Pink Floyd lovers, comfortably numb. And we just think it's okay. I thought it was okay. I'm the senior pastor of this church. And I got comfortable. It's okay. We'll go there and we'll keep doing. And God said, no, it is not okay. Because when you're gone, Adam, what footprint was left behind? Well, I don't know. Something must have washed it away. He said, no, it wasn't big enough. And I'm not talking about doing a great and mighty work for the name of Adam Dilley. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what did you do to lead the church to do greater works for His kingdom, for His glory. First thing I had to do was get excited about 2019. So I've been excited about that. And then I had to strive to organize things, to get more communication, to make sure I can find out what we're doing, and to challenge you all. Man, can you imagine Pastor Eric and I standing up here thinking, God, I hope they show up today. What do we have to do to motivate them? Well, they were tired. Eric, you're never tired, are you? I'm never tired. No. Are you kidding me? But we're charged with motivating and encouraging and teaching the church body to do more. Elizabeth has a mighty and powerful job of leading worship here. And she does an amazing job. Yeah. She doesn't do it for praise and glory. Or she'd be out in the club singing with a band every weekend, you know. She does this because she enjoys, maybe she does, I don't know. She does it because she enjoys it. But can you imagine how much that encourages her when she hears your voices singing back? I'd love to say, Rex, could you turn up the volume because I can't hear her singing. All I hear is the people. I would never say that. I love your voices. And more the last several weeks, umpteen weeks, your voices get louder and louder. And I got to say that's encouraging. I'm sure to her it's encouraging to me. But he says, we have to get up. The first thing we have to do is stand up if we're sitting down. The second thing we have to do is get moving. We have to get moving. We have to put feet to this. And I get that we have very busy schedules out there. But there's opportunity for us to do things. And there's opportunities for us to do small things that impact people in a big way. They don't take a ton of money. They don't take a ton of time. They don't take a ton of people. And we can go out and we can impact our community. Let's flip over to Luke chapter 14. And by the way, when we get moving, it helps us with our connect groups, our Sunday school classes, our time together in here with a message, that we get to know the doctrine and we get to study God's word. That we fellowship with one another. That we break bread together. And that we pray. Been a whole lot more praying going on in 2019. As a matter of fact, at the end of service, we're going to pray over our two expectant mothers. We're going to pray for them and their families. For sure, their husbands as well. But we're going to pray for them at the end of service. Why? Because we want to be more intentional about our prayers and what we're praying for. And our different prayer groups that meet and that communicate throughout the week, praying for you all and your needs. Praying for Pastor Eric and I and our needs. Praying for this church body. What a powerful thing. In Luke chapter 14, verse 35, the very end, the last two verses, this is what we need to be careful of. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill. Another translation says the manure pile. I think you all get the gist there. But men throw it out. That's Luke chapter 14, verse 34 and 35. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. We don't want at the end for God to say, my gosh, you were salt, you were flavor, you added flavor to Jesus Christ and His story. And then you turned it into a bland, unfulfilling, unexciting thing, and it became tasteless, good for nothing to be thrown out. Well, we don't want that. We don't want that. Now flip backwards, Luke chapter 11, and we'll close with this. Luke chapter 11, verse 33 and 36, and we've been all around being light and salt today. And when we talk about the fear of standing still, that's the fear of being salt and losing its flavor. That's the fear of being a light and hiding that. But I want you to listen to this. In Luke 11, 33, chapter 11, verse 33 through 36. And it says, no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under basket, but on a lampstand that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. And I love in the beginning, no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket. God didn't take us and allow us to have that conversion and accept Him and allow us to be His arms and feet, allow us to be salt and light for Him and His message, just so we can take and go hide it. He says, I need you to be amongst the people. I need you to tell them about what I'm doing in your life. By the way, when you go through tough times, I need you to tell them that you're going to lean on Him. Because God, when He sent the people in the old days and sent Moses, and He said, you're getting ready to have a change of leadership. Joshua's going to take over and you're going into a new land and I can't cross over into that land. But He said, do not fear, do not be afraid to take that land. Why? Because I will go with you. And that's the light and salt that He asked us to be. But He says, I need you to stand up and serve others. If I could have our mothers and the families come up, we're going to pray for them. Let's come right down here, if you would. And when we're done praying with them, we're going to sing a song as we always do. But I want to have opportunity for us to pray for these mothers. You see, shortly, their lives will be changing. And the lives of their husbands and the lives of their children will be changing. And I want us to remember as we just think about what we're doing in 2019. And I want us to think about fellowship and breaking bread. Studying God's Word and praying. How powerful us praying for others is going to be. I was going to say, I'm waiting on Dad, so. All right. And what we're going to do is, I'm going to pray over them. Then I'm just going to have some silence where we can just pray where you guys are. And then we're going to end with singing a song after that. So if you would, just bow your heads with me today. Heavenly Father, I just come before you today. We lift up these expectant mothers. Lord, we lift up their husbands. We lift up their sons, Matthew and Christian and David. Lord, these families are about to change. God, we've been praying for a long time for health. for these children. We pray as a church body that we are here. We are lifting them up. We are praying for them. We will be here to support them as believers and help raise them in a house of Christian faith. We want to be here to serve these families. We want to be here to serve the mothers and the fathers. And again, the sons. And we want to be here to serve these newborn children. God, your word talks about the children and what they mean to you. God, we have prayed for children in this church body for years. God, you are bringing that to fruition. You have brought that in the last couple years as well. Lord, we pray for the extended families, the grandparents, aunts and uncles, nieces, nephews, whatever it is, Lord, we pray for them that you unite these families. You bring them together to serve you. God, as we pray for health for these families, if you would, where you are right now, just raise your hand and press it forward to these people. Just raise your hand and press it forward and pray over these people as we just take a moment of silence to pray. Your word says, do not fear. Do not be afraid. For I go with you. Know today that He is with you. Amen. Amen. If you would stand your feet, let's sing as we prepare to dismiss today.